One and you're live.
Live. This is Michael Engley live on United Public Radio Network International Broadcast, talking to you from the liberal haven of Ithaca, New York, where you can do whatever you want to do if you're a liberal and get away with it. It seems like it anyway. And then, like, Berkeley and Ithaca are the armpits of America. You know what I mean? When it comes to liberalism. And I go downtown. I don't hang out down in Ithaca a lot. Today they had some drinking festival at Cornell, and then there was a whole bunch of people in the drunk tank in the hospital, I understand. But young girls drunk off their ass, you know, not even knowing what the hell to do. You throw your responsibility for yourself out the window when you do that type of stuff. And I say that not because they have no responsibility, or it doesn't absolve them from any crimes or any dumb things that they do. What it does is it gives you the control you have over yourself, and then you're giving it to other people. You're taking that responsibility for yourself, and then you see these young, beautiful girls drunk off their ass, passed out, whatever. Anything can happen to them in that state. And it's mostly girls, not guys. It's pretty funny that end up in the emergency room. But I'll tell you, man, this world, I feel like there's people out there that think they can do no wrong. And they've been told this by the past administration. And it's not just a president. You know, don't think like Obama was just a president. It's the whole system. It's what they can do to change things within the system. So, like, you know, when they affect the education system, for instance, and they start pushing all of their, you know, ideas, ideals, words like assault rifle, those two words describe any rifle that's committed an assault. I'm down with that. That's great. But it doesn't describe a rifle in of itself, right? And there's the big debate now over this rifle, that rifle. And I'm a gun guy, but I don't need a lot of guns. At one time, I had a lot of guns. Now, I just have a few, you know. And it's one, for self-preservation. Two, I don't hunt, have no want, need, nor desire to go shoot some animal. You know, number three, I love to target shoot. It's one of my favorite things to do. So, and then, you know what? A lot of target shooting is just done with a little .22. But I have larger caliber rifles, and you know, I know a lot about guns, right? So when someone starts talking guns to me, you know, to me it's six of one, half dozen of another. To use a gun to kill a bunch of people, or to use a truck to kill a bunch of people, or some makeshift bomb to kill a bunch of people, and now Homeland Security warning of drones that are armed with chemicals, guns, even there's people who've mounted AK-47s on these drones, you know, handguns on these drones. It's actually very simple to do. So now they're warning, of course. We talked about that here on the show when the whole drone thing came about. And I'm like, this is going to grow into an immeasurable problem. It's going to be a problem that you're not even going to have to, you're not even going to understand the scope of it once that light turns green. So, in getting back to this other stuff, so you have all these people now who have gone to school for the last 8 years, public school, have been pre-programmed, brainwashed by an agenda. And this is the problem. This is the biggest problem in any government. That government pushing an agenda, not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is something that they should be pushing. That is something that is guaranteed to us in the Constitution. Barack Obama did everything he could to get away from the Constitution, to vilify it, to say, look at this, look at these rules. They're old, written by old white men. Isn't that what they all said? Old white men. You know, they were slave owners. And look at that. They belittled the founding fathers of the country. They belittled them. They made them into villains. they made them into evil people, right? For their own personal gain, to push their agenda. So now you have young people. I listen to them talk out there. A lot of these millennials who have been brainwashed, they really have no idea of what they're saying or doing at any given time. And I listen to them talk, you know. This is the problem that they don't want. This is the deal they don't want to hear. You're a millennial, you're a third channel. You don't want to hear this because you're going to be like, whoa, right? This is the deal. You don't know anything. And I'll tell you why you don't know anything. Because this government only cares that you can push a button. And that's it. Only smart enough to push the button. They don't want you asking questions. They don't want you questioning authority. They've already sold you this belief. They've sold you something. They sold you their agenda, and you bought it. And they sold it to you by promising you things. You know, now, both sides are playing the game. You've got Democrats. You've got Republicans. These are just parties in the United States, but they've grown to be so powerful and so big that you can't stop them. The only thing that could happen is that they destroy themselves, right? So we're watching that happen. We're watching them destroy themselves. We're watching the Republicans destroy themselves. And this last election cycle, last Tuesday, you know, Democrats won some important races. It's no surprise, really. You know, New Jersey governor, no surprise that it went that Democrat, and Virginia, no surprise. It seemed like it was moving in that direction. So that's fine. And now the Democrats are tooting the horn saying, hey, look at us, look at us. We're winning. We're going to be the best or whatever. Okay. The Republicans now are apparently worried. They're worried because they don't want to lose what they've got. But I'm going to say they deserve to lose what they have because they have done nothing to help Donald Trump get his agenda, which I'm going to say is the people's agenda, because me, myself, I'm not looking at his policies and the things that he's doing as something that's bad. I think that it's all going to come into a nice balance, as a matter of fact. And I wouldn't say that unless I felt it, because I really don't like the guy. It's not like I'm some trumpeter saying, hey, he's great, whatever. I don't think he's great. I don't like the guy. You know? I don't like what he is as a person, but then it doesn't matter. I don't have to. We've already been sold that agenda by the polished knobs in the suits who are going to sit there and say, you're in danger. Believe us. We're going to help you. We're going to solve these problems. And they just play every card against Trump as they can. But when you look at the results, especially the results of what the Democrats have done in the past 8 years, and they act like they weren't in control. You know, they have a president, and he can work with Congress. Barack Obama had no intention of working with Congress. You know, just like the same reason why he left the DNC $24 million in debt. The same reason why is the same reason why he didn't care. The fact that he was president, to him, it was just a stepping stone to what he's doing now. He didn't lead this country with the ideals of the Constitution. He attacked the Constitution the entire time. And then now we see what has to be undone from all of his doing, you know. So then there's one scandal after the next. Hillary Clinton, right? Talk about scandals. Now Donna Brazile's out with her book. She's trying to sell her book. That's all she cares about. If you think that Donna Brazile is coming out to tell the tale of the DNC and how she was treated and what happened and play the whole Babe in the Woods, you're crazy. This woman is as calculating as the rest of them. She came out and wrote that book, number one, to protect herself. Because the best thing you could do to protect yourself is put the spotlight on the cockroaches and understand that once that spotlight's on them, they're stuck. They're not going to do anything to jeopardize themselves because that's the only thing that they care about. Hillary Clinton cares about Hillary Clinton. She sees her daughter as a legacy, right? The same daughter that used money from the Clinton Foundation to pay for her wedding and other stuff and said use it as her personal bank account for over 10 years. That's embezzlement, isn't it? A foundation money? The money's supposed to go to help people, isn't it? Scandal. One scandal after the next. During the election with Trump and Hillary, they were pouncing on him, focused on him. 99.2% of the media was against him. They were against Trump. They even set out to push their agenda. They were afraid that the agenda was going to be interrupted. And that agenda has to do with the Good Old Boys Network and the Good Old Girls Network, right? Has to do with the swamp. When they say drain the swamp. If you think that you're going to go into Washington and start fixing things and those things you're fixing don't start attacking you, again, that's crazy. It's a war. It's a battle. You got to go in there and clean house. It's like getting rid of mice, you know, getting rid of rats or some kind of vermin, some kind of rodent. You've got to go in there, expose it, show people. There are still people that will, like, never admit the truth when it comes to a Donna Brazile or when it comes to a Hillary Clinton, when it comes to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. All these women who took over the DNC, who thought they could run things, they could do a great job and whatever, guess what? They ran it to the ground. They put it in jeopardy. Hillary Clinton's team was in control the whole time. They screwed Bernie Sanders. And I'll tell you this about Bernie Sanders. Do you know why? I'll ask you this. Do you know why when the DNC had their big gathering, right, the big convention, Bernie Sanders came out? He knows he was wrong. He knows that somebody killed Seth Rich. He knows that things got awfully tight, tight in the way of his existence has become a narrowed field, you know? It's like you're in a world of killers, for God's sakes, of people who do not care about human life. Money's more important. Status is more important. They love to show off, you know? They want to show off. Come on. Look at all these Hollywood scumbags who are getting called out for all the sexual allegations. A lot of them admitted it. Kevin Spacey admitted to having relations with a 14-year-old boy, child. Yeah, that's perfectly A-okay in Hollywood. It was known, well known. And how many more? A lot more have come out. You know why? These guys have never been arrested. Do you know why? Because they have the politicians and the judges and all that in their pockets, just like the mafia. No difference. The Harvey Weinsteins, and back in the day, I'll tell you, these are all lower beta males. In the real world, if they were just guys who worked normal jobs, they wouldn't be able to have sex with these A-lister women, these big alphas. Are you kidding? Drop-dead, beautiful, gorgeous women. Now they have power. They can put them into a movie, make them famous, get lots of money, fame, fortune, everything. It's kind of like you read the Bible, you know, or anything that talks about hell. or just evil in general. Well, let's just forget about hell. Let's just focus on evil. Isn't that like what the deal is? How you get lured in? You get, transfixed, right? Seduced by the dark side. Isn't that like what all their movies are about? Being seduced by the dark side or whatever? And usually good triumphs, but not really. Look at Star Wars. They still can't win that thing. Every time they kick evil's ass, it comes back. It's a battle, right? But don't you think by producing such material actually causes, other people to view that as a powerful thing, something they might really want to be part of? And I think that all of life is choices. I think that's monkey see, monkey do much of the time, and humans get in trouble because of that much of the time. So what I want to know from all the people out there is, number one, how do you feel that all these Hollywood stars and politicians and music business, even Mariah Carey, and the story, it's a story that's interesting because her security guard, who runs a security team who protects Mariah Carey, right? She said, he said that she would constantly assault him, call him a KKK guy, skinhead, and all kinds of things, white supremacist, whatever, because he's white and bald. Okay. Stiffed him for $200,000. $200,000 for the bill. That was like for a couple of years worth, I guess. And also, she told him to go up to her room to move some luggage around, right? This is the head of her security team. Not a bellboy, none of that. Come on up to the room, move some luggage around. So he does it. He goes up there, he says she's dressed in a negligee, nothing on underneath, a see-through negligee, and open in the front. And then he goes in and he says that he looked away and he just wanted to leave. But she was making all these excuses for him to stay. Now, he did the right thing and got the hell out of there. Because if he had stayed and she had seduced him, she could have said anything. She could have said he raped me or he touched me and he did all these terrible things. Bye-bye to that $200,000 that they owe you. Bye-bye to your career, sex offender. Because nobody would believe the guy. Nobody. So he sued, and then they just suspended the lawsuit because Mariah Carey's people want to settle. They don't want this bad press, even though they're getting it, because the story came out. So why do you think that all these Hollywood people, Kevin Spacey, the Harvey Weinstein, let us not forget Barack Obama, Hollywood president, his own daughter went to work for Harvey Weinstein. Think about that. The big, powerful politicians are in cahoots with all these Hollywood people and music business people because they are enamored. They are seduced by the power, the money, the wealth, all of that. They're supposed to be representing us, not just them. They're not supposed to be going to these parties, but they do because there's fundraisers. George Clooney raising tens of millions of dollars for Barack Obama alone, having big parties, pulling all those Hollywood people. You think they're not buying influence? You don't think they get favors for that kind of money? It's pay to play. So when Hillary Clinton took $145 million from the Russians to put in the Clinton Foundation and then gave the Russians 20% of this uranium deal, why does that shock anybody? But it's bribery. It's bribery. Same thing for these Hollywood stars inviting politicians. You know what? I'll give you a nice story that goes along with this perfectly, right? Right now, in the Navy, they are going after admirals and other people. They've ensnared 60 admirals. And they're investigating 435 some other people, active duty and not active, right? in a scam that there was this guy in Malaysia. I think they call him Fat Leonard, the Fat Leonard investigation. This guy in Malaysia, you know, invited these admirals to parties, lavish parties, lots of money, lots of power, right? Here's prostitutes, threw prostitutes at them, cash gifts, you know, all kinds of stuff. This guy got military contracts because of that. So now let me ask you this. Why are they charged and being charged and could go to jail, lose their commission, everything, security clearances, all that, but not Hillary Clinton, not Barack Obama, Chuck Schumer? Chuck Schumer just went to a party the other night. He goes to this party for journalists, right? So they said that they didn't expect him to come. They didn't want him to come, but that's fine that he was there. He comes with a big security compliment, all the armed guards. You know, guns are bad, but they're good for Chuck Schumer. Bad for you and me, good for him. More important that he has guns than you. So good. Chuck Schumer goes in, and here's this guy, old veteran journalist. He's ranting about how the accusers who came out against Kevin Spacey, how dare they come out for, you know, only for 10 minutes of indiscretion? How dare they come out now and ruin people's careers and whatever? And people are like, you know, listening to this guy rant, nobody's taking an issue with this dude saying it's okay to molest children. And Chuck Schumer said they're drinking champagne, happily, joyfully smiling. Do you guys have a problem with that? I have a huge problem with that. So I think that we need to clean house, man. And I'm ready to arrest all of them. I want justice to prevail. We have a correction system for people like that. You know? Why is it only just a plain old crappy people out there that go to jail? These guys, even Anthony Weiner, Carlos Danger, he reported for jail last week. He's going to summer camp. It's not a jail. It's a summer camp. He's going there. He'll make deals. He'll get with the other politicians and other business people that are sent there. How come they don't go to some crap hole, put them in Sing Sing, something like that? You know, there's a lot of crap holes they could put them in. Let them live real life in jail. See what that's like. Carlos Danger, I think he would have a different opinion about life at that rate, you know? So it's just, I'm no moral compass, and I have sinned. I have sinned and sinned again, and I will sin again, because that's people, I think. But I never raped a kid. I never put my hands on a person, a woman, that didn't want it. And I think that these days, it's damn scary to be young guys. You know, I live in a college town, you know, Cornell University is here, Ithaca College. And I talk to a lot of these guys, man. I bend their ear, you know, when I'm out and about. It's like, you know what? You risk your whole life. If somebody accuses you of doing something like that, they're not going to believe the guy. You know, they're going to believe the girl. It's always like that. These courts rule against the guy most of the time. Colleges rule against the guy most of the time, you know, 98% of the time. So I think that it's really, really scary to be a young person. It's getting in the way of people's relationships. You know, typically people meet in college. That's where you meet your mate a lot of times, you know, but man, things are changing and they're changing quickly. It's getting uglier by the day. And I don't see a shutoff valve. I don't see a shutoff valve because there are people that are screaming sexual abuse who weren't sexually abused, but in their mind, they were used by some powerful people, and then they ended up having sex with them. And then they look back 20 years later and say, that wasn't right. Yeah, it's not right. And that casting couch, the stories of the casting couch, have been known for years and years and years. And nobody ever did anything to stop it. And who are you going to go to? Who are you going to call? The police? Bought and paid for. You know? Really? So now LAPD's called on the carpet by Corey Feldman. He named a whole bunch of names, said all kinds of things, alleged that Charlie Sheen raped Corey Haim, actor Corey Haim, who's now deceased. And I don't even want to get into accusations because that's exactly what they are. If I'm going to go by people's character, yeah, I wouldn't not believe it when it comes to Charlie Sheen. Because to me, he encompasses what I like to call evil, of low moral character to the point that it drags other people around him, you know? And he enjoys doing it. I've seen the guy destroy people and happily do it. But I look at people's character, you know? And yeah, I can judge people because I'm not doing it for the world. I'm doing it for me, of who I want to hang out with. I don't like having negative people around me. I like having positive spiritual people around me, you know? So I stayed away in my life from all these horrible negative people. And that's hard to do, especially like in the music business. I was in the music business for a long time. It's hard to do because those negative people are there. They're there to seduce. They're there to make a deal. And you literally have to sell your soul for that deal. I've heard a million times. I've seen it, heard it. I've watched people just get used, abused, destroyed, male and female, by the machine. It's a big freaking machine. And unless, you know, I mean, look at these people who are famous, right? I was having a discussion with a friend saying, oh, man, you know, it must be great to be famous. I'm like, really? I said, I don't think that it is. I think that you lose your freedom, you know, and they're not as wealthy as you think they are. They have a lot of mouths to feed. They have managers and agents that are going to take huge chunks of what they get. Then you have all kinds of people and things to pay for and whatever. We've seen them go into ruin. Johnny Depp, man, he's on that ship right now, isn't he? The ship to ruin. This dude, also, I look at his character. His ex, Amanda Heard, said that he roughed her up, said physical abuse, all kinds of stuff, right? Has pictures, took pictures of her face, all bruised up face. If you believe it, I don't know. I'd like to see a court come out with that finding, right? But think about it. This guy was on top. He was unbelievably on top. I mean, like Johnny Depp, big name in Hollywood, big actor. Films, you know, that they spend a couple of $100 million making these films, for God's sakes, all right? All special effects and stuff and whatever. Johnny Depp, I think he's a good actor, you know? But I don't think he's a good person. And now his character comes into play. He talks all this stuff about how he hates Trump, talks about murdering the president. Then he talks about, you know, because Trump's this big pig and whatever. But then this guy's ex-wife is saying that he beat me up, you know, that he's guilty of physical abuse. That's what she said. So he's out there falling apart. He's being sued by his management company because they screwed him, apparently, or he screwed them, is what they said. He's living this life as just spending a couple of million a month, and he doesn't have it. He's got to sell assets off so he doesn't go insolvent, you know? So here's Johnny Depp spiraling out of control. I see a headline about him once a week on something terrible going on, whatever. but you look at their character. I can tell you what your future is going to be just by your character. And if you are a good person, a happy person, a nice person, and you hook up with some negative ass who's just going to use you and abuse you and take things from you, they're going to take that happiness away from you, that kindness away from you. Those people are like holes in the ground. They're going to suck you in. You're going to see all darkness, and they are just going to destroy you. And once they do, they move on to the next. And it happens a lot, unfortunately. And people get ruined, unfortunately. And then all the bullcrap happens, too. Look at O.J. Simpson, man. Perfect example. Sociopath. Right? What did I tell you about O.J.? I said, O.J. Simpson is going to end up back in jail. He's a sociopath. The guy got convicted in a civil court of murder, right? That's why he has to pay those families millions of dollars. Now, this guy got released from prison because he's so-called dying of cancer. He's 70 years old. He's on parole, right? There's conditions of parole. If he violates those conditions of parole, it goes right back. Okay. So he got thrown out of a bar yesterday, drinking, drunk, breaking glasses, became argumentative and combative with somebody. Combative. You know, security had to escort him out. They banned him from the hotel. Banned him from the hotel. You know, when that Las Vegas shooter was shooting people, OJ was like two blocks away from there. So I tend to feel like evil hangs out in clusters. Does that sound weird? And I think that people are capable of doing anything. So once you know what someone's capable of, then you know that they're going to do it again. I'm not saying OJ is going to commit murder again, but in his mind, he got away with murder. He wrote a book. This, if I didn't do it, whatever. He basically confessed to all these people in prison, saying he did it. He killed those people. You know, the evidence at the outset corroborates the whole night. Even to the fact that the family dog, an Akita, a huge-ass dog that will bite your head off, didn't attack the attacker that night. An aggressive Akita didn't attack the attacker because he knew the attacker. The Akita knew it was his owner. It was O.J. Simpson, right? There's a lot of things that they really didn't get into because the whole trial was a farce. The people on the jury, in their minds, it was a racial thing. There was no way they were going to find him guilty. They didn't care what he did. And that was God's honest truth. You had a horrible district attorney and then just terrible, terrible people all the way around who mishandled the entire investigation, including Mark Durman, the police officer involved, all of them, all the way around, you know? But yeah, he didn't get found guilty. And that glove thing, by the way, you know, if you give me a glove that fits, I can make it look like it doesn't fit, you know? And his lawyer probably laughed his ass off if they said he wanted to put a glove on you, you know, especially a leather glove that has been wet and laying outside and all dried up. Come on, man. Like the glove didn't fit. This guy, he himself knew what he was doing. And then he was enraged by passion and also that loss. He couldn't believe it, right? And then it happens, man. But OJ getting thrown out, combative, and it's only a few weeks that he's been out of prison. 6 weeks, and this dude's still alive. So I'll give him. What do we say? Let's see. What month is this? November. Let me see. By June, O.J. Simpson is gonna be back in prison or dead. He's gonna do something stupid or piss somebody off. Or something's gonna happen because this guy is crazy. He's 10 different types of crazy. Have you ever listened to him talk? You ever, like, listen to his little interviews? Nobody will pay him, by the way, for his interview. He thought that he was going to come out and be interviewed by the news. He's going to be on CNN and Fox and all that. O.J. Simpson's got something to say. It turns out that people are afraid to put him on TV because they don't want to alienate their advertisers and their audience, because people hate this dude. They hate him. They think that he's just a low-life, murderous scum. He pulled a gun on people and robbed them in a hotel room. He is a dangerous sociopath. Once a sociopath, always a sociopath. Remember that, because they're out there, and then they're looking to take what you have. You know, either your life, either sex, money, whatever. Whatever they look at you and think they can get from you, that's what's out there. So I see it all the time in my business. I'm a private investigator. I see it all the time. You know, people just trying to do somebody out of something. Oh, stupidity, greed, pettiness, all kinds of stuff figures in. And then they commit these stupid, horrible crimes. They end up getting busted much of the time and getting sent up. You know, a lot of times people get out. They have the pretrial process, don't they? So you know what? You let people out, keep letting them out. You know where you see this a lot? In black neighborhoods, in ghettos. They don't keep those guys in long. They let them out because in their view, it's no big deal. You know, they go back to the ghetto and the ghettos are contained. And when I say that, you have to understand the ghetto in the United States. There are some places that have a better way of integration, you know, because especially down south in some places, but largely down south, like look at Mississippi or Alabama, you still have unbelievable racial problems. But like if you look at New York or Chicago, all these places that have these large urban ghettos, those ghettos are designed to keep people in. Those ghettos are open prisons, right? They're a prison without walls necessarily. They have financial walls. Because if you live in a ghetto and you're fed on welfare and your life is crap, and if you live in a building that's 40 stories high and the elevator's out all the time and these places full of rats and cockroaches, you know, that's your life. And these people don't care if they live. They don't care if they don't think they're going to get past 21. A lot of them join gangs because that's an easy way of making money in their view. Right? But they don't have a lot of cars. They don't have money to get out of there. And if they get out of there, the police in those outlying communities stop them right away. For instance, Far Rockaway, right? Far Rockaway on Long Island in Queens, technically speaking, the next town over is Hewlett, right? A lot of wealthy, wealthy people there. Big, big Hebrew area, you know, in Hewlett. We'll call the five towns, Lawrence, Hewlett, all that. Big money. Go on Zillow and look at what houses go for in Hewlett or Lawrence or any of that. And go on and look what houses go for in Far Rockaway. There's one road that separates the two places. One highway. That's all. You would think that there'd be a lot of robberies in Hewlett since there's so many criminals living in Far Rockaway, because there are a lot of criminals there. People commit crimes. They get sent to Rikers Island, which is a holding facility, and much of the time they just get released. They go back into their community. If they cross the street, Nassau County police are there to stop them. I knew guys in Far Rockaway, and they were terrified of Nassau County. You know, I was talking about this nice restaurant that I like in East Rockaway. You would think that they're close. They're not close by. One's far. One's Far Rockaway. One's East. And these guys were like, oh, I'm not going there. I'm not going to East Rockaway. I'll get arrested, man, just by being there. Just by showing my face, I'll be arrested. You see? Because Far Rockaway is a ghetto and it's a prison with no walls. It's a prison. and people don't have much of a chance of getting out of that prison. You got the United Negro College Fund. You got the NAACP. You've got people like Jesse Jackson. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive, right? What does he do? He goes out, takes a whole bunch of money from people, sticks it in his pocket. Al Sharpton, the same thing. All those guys are supposed to be the voices of the black community. They're not. Those people have no voice. They're in a ghetto. They're stuck. Nobody wants to think of them. The top 10 most dangerous places in the U.S. are all ghettos. And people have to live there. What about the innocent people? Not the criminals, just the kids who have to live there and go to school and walk through that gang, walk through that mess, walk through those crackheads and meth heads, and walk through all that violence and try to survive that stuff. Try to survive that. Try to come out. Okay, I'm going to make something out of my life. You have to have amazing constancy to be that person. And most people are just regular old people. Most people aren't superheroes. So that's the deal. The deal is it's a no-win situation. And it's a situation where people are fed on drugs, guns, and alcohol. And then they shoot each other. The police come around with ambulances. They take away the dead bodies. They write a report. They go back to their car. They leave. And then the next time it happens, maybe the same day, the police come around. Whatever. Look at Chicago. Almost 600 murders this year so far, right? I like how they make a big deal out of people walking and texting that Rahm Emanuel, who, you know, was an Obama advisor, of course, right there in the early days. He went on to be mayor of Chicago. It's the toughest gun laws in the U.S. And it's also unbelievable murders that happen in those black communities. Not in the rich, wealthy areas. You know, those people are protected because they've got that road. They've got the road that protects them, right? So you can see this all through communities out the United States, you know, on a bridge or a road that protects people. Look at Oakland, California, right? It's a crap hole. You're likely to be victimized in Oakland, California. Look at San Francisco. They wanted to be fantasy land. It's just the other side of the bridge. But the element that we're talking about doesn't cross over there. Because there's police officers that'll put a stop to it right away. And that's why the people are set up to fail. You know? So if you wanna have equality and you wanna get people on an even playing field, you gotta level the ghettos. And you've gotta take people into situations where they're gonna feel that big and be able to hold their heads high. You know, unless that happens. So those people will keep killing each other, keep killing each other, keep dying. All kinds of stuff, babies dying, you know, all of that. In Chicago, they're concerned about people texting and walking. Oh, 29 people died last year from texting while they're walking and they get run over by a truck, right, or a car. In Austria, they're putting airbags, bumper bags on the light posts because people are walking in. Walking in with their smartphones, like clunking into a light post. But what's more important? The people texting and walking, the 27 people who walked in front of a car, or the 569 people that were murdered by illegal guns in Chicago who has the stiffest gun laws? Don't those people count? Don't those lives matter? Whereas black lives matter. Don't they care? And that's the deal. No, they don't. Of course they don't care. They care about their agenda. They care about making the money. They care about yelling, screaming, saying police officers are bad, but all this other stuff doesn't matter. Right? Yeah, some police officers are bad. Some police officers are good. I like to think most of them are good. I like to think most of them are going to be there to help you in a bad situation rather than hurt you. Right? But, yeah, I've been hurt by police officers before, you know, on a few different occasions. And on one occasion in the city for no reason at all. The guy just wanted to be a jerk. And I remember it, too. you know, and that guy shouldn't have been a police officer, but people, you know, can, they use that power. They use the power against you. So I just think that in this world, we need to address all these issues. If we're going to be free and have a free country, we need to enforce our laws. We need to safeguard people who live in bad neighborhoods. They shouldn't live in a bad neighborhood because the bad people should be gone. If you remove the bad people, it's just a neighborhood. And they're just people living lives. You know, and that's what gets me, right? I knew this family who lived up in this high rise in Far Rockaway. There's a bad area, right? A lot of drug sales and streets, you know, gun crime, all that stuff. There's stuff that they don't want to even talk about in the news because the news doesn't care, you know, unless they can race bait or make it some kind of story that they can make money off of, right? But just people getting killed like that, they don't care. So there was this kid who was just sleeping, you know, going to go to school the next day, sleeping in his bed. These guys were shooting each other, shooting at each other, shooting guns in the air. One of those bullets went right through his brain. Boom. And then you hear these stories, and it just gets you that he cares, you know, like he cared, family cared. They have funerals and the whole bit. If you know black people, then you know they go to a lot of funerals, you know? And I think that when all these buzzwords come out or phrases like white privilege or whatever, you know, I think that people don't understand. It's not more about white privilege. It's about what black people have gone through. And if you want people to be equal and develop and have an equal shot, you've got to think about these ghettos. You got to think about that plight of being around so many criminals. So while Barack Obama and Loretta Lynch thought they were doing minorities a favor by letting them go when they commit misdemeanor crimes, like and especially de Blasio in the city, right? New York City. You're not doing their neighborhood any good. You think that you're helping out those minorities. That's very racist to let the black person go who commits or the Latino person who commits a crime, a misdemeanor, but not charge the white person. That was a whole other show in of itself. But I'm saying this. You're taking criminals. Forget about their color. Think about the crime. You're taking criminals and putting them right back into that neighborhood again and not charging them and empowering them with these guys thinking they can do whatever they want to do and not get in trouble. That in of itself is a whole series of issues that will keep those communities down. And this is the hypocrisy of these governments, these people, the Barack Obamas, all of them. Every last one, all these jerks in Hollywood, all these people in the music business, all the big rappers like Snoop Dogg. Yeah, you guys can say all these negative things about the president or whatever, but there are problems that need to be solved. And then they're not working for those goals. They're only working for their own goals. Snoop Dogg wants to sell albums, so he's going to talk about murdering the president because his base wants to murder the president. Music to their ears. But is it right? You know, so I can let you guys think about that. I'm going to go. This is Michael Angley. Michael Angley live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7, and Pass Christian. Stay tuned for a panel discussion on all kinds of stuff. So see you then.